to make us look more and more like you. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Do you know that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? You know that one? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. You know, sometimes he just likes to hear just our voices. It's okay. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. But I've got to tell you, you know, because I get around. I do. So I get to check out all the stuff. And I'm telling you, you guys, be confident that you're doing your job well. They are. They take you in. You know, some places you go, it's fabulous, but they don't take you in. When they take you in, then you're doing your job as worshipers. Because worship leaders are to lead us into the presence of God. That's their job. Not just lead us in song, but take us somewhere. And they take us somewhere, Barbie. So kudos to you and kudos to those on the worship team. Thank you. I like it when you make me cry before I speak. I like that. Well, you know, I've gone back and forth this morning, but I just feel led to continue where I left off last night, if that's okay. Because I got plenty of stuff, you know. I mean, I could just stand up here and talk all day, but they just won't let me. But, No, we want to hear Nande. We want to hear other people, you know. Come on now. It's not fair. It's not fair. And before I forget, there's lots of resources out there for you, whether you're married, whether you're single. There are books out there. Please, knowledge is power. Say that to someone. Knowledge is power. If you're not a reader, I'm going to tell you how to become a reader. You know, there's this place, the washroom, the loo. Uh-huh. And you just put the book there. And when you go in and sit down, see, we get to sit down because we're girls. You just pick it up and just read for 5 minutes. Yeah? Then you'll get caught up in it and you'll take it out of the washroom and you'll sit and you'll read. Amen? So my books are all like conversations, so that should make it easy for you. And then I made a bracelet especially for you. Brave. So stop by my table, pick that up. Yep, see, Barbie's got two. I gave her one, she went and got another one. Uh-huh, I see. And also my music CD from my ministry in Ghana. So you can support us by picking that up. I think I have some download cards, too, for those who don't do CDs anymore. So I'll make sure I get those out to the table. But make sure that you stop by. And somewhere throughout the day, I'm sure I'll get a chance to sign your book. So know that I love you and I'm here for you. Okay? Good. So, you know, last night, how many were here? How many were not here last night? That might be easier. Okay, so we'll bring you up to snuff so we can all be on the same page. How about that? Okay, we'll do a quick review and then move on. But last night we were talking about the fact that sometimes we struggle with our confidence because of a lack of identity. So I was just reviewing in basics, you know, because sometimes we just need to be reminded who we are in Christ. And I brought up the three Hebrew boys, and I'm going to bring them up again because there's another thought process that I want to inject into you. I don't know. I've been home a lot this year, and I was telling Barbie this is really my first time out from the beginning of the year. And for me, that was the best of times and the worst of times, because to be perfectly honest, and I can be transparent with you, after, you know, feeling like, you know, you're the golden girl and running all over the world and speaking every weekend. And when I lived in America, I was on a plane sometimes up to three times a week. or I was on a TV show or a radio interview, and to suddenly have the world go silent around you can be a rather shattering experience. It makes you question who you are. And, you know, and it was, I would laugh at myself because my ministry in Ghana is called Relevance, and I felt irrelevant. How about that? I'm like, I'm washed up in this town, you know. Who am I anyway? Do I matter anymore? And then I began wondering, did I have anything to say? I mean, it is amazing that when God pulls you off to the backside of the desert, now I can really relate with Moses. I mean, and he had 40 years of it. I only had 8 months. So you can imagine how he felt. He went from being prince to like nothing. You know, taking care of some smelly sheep, you know. But the thing about it is that God will prune you, he will purge you, he will break you down, he will grind you, he will crush you to a fine powder. And if you're not well aware that that's got nothing to do with his love for you. Actually, it has everything to do with his love for you. Because what he's doing is he is the author of reinvention. And when he's ready to take you to another level, he strips you down first. You know, but what it did was it made a lot of things go into perspective for me. I got to see how unimportant most things really are. You know, in Philippians, he talks about the fact that we become lovers. We walk in love and we learn what really matters. He says, don't just love much, love well. And find out what really matters. And so when you're sitting at home a lot, playing with your doggies, I love my doggies. I even got a book about my doggies out there. They've taught me so much about God and life and love. But the thing is, when you're sitting at home a lot, you get a different perspective. And the world becomes very small. You start thinking kingdom thoughts. And I think that God has called us to be kingdom people, not people of the earth. You know, we skim over scriptures because we read them and we know them so well that, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, even with the word of God. And so we get to this place where we go, well, we're in the world, but not of the world. Yeah, I know that. But what does that really mean? But, you know, I thought about it because I have a house in Ghana that my dad left for me. And the ambassador of Egypt rents that house. I'm the landlady of Egypt. How fabulous is that? But it's interesting because, you know, they rented the house, you know, and all our furniture. I just moved out and they moved in, so I didn't really take any furniture or anything. And but when I go there, they've put up their Egyptian stuff, you know, their poles and their flags and their own decorations and pictures and everything. And they have a Ghanaian cook, but they don't eat Ghanaian food. They eat Egyptian food. And they're not really interested in becoming Ghanaian. They are there to inject their influence into Ghana. So they are very Egyptian. They're not compromising. They're not apologizing for who they are. They are there to stake their claim in the country of Ghana. Likewise, so are we. And so we must develop a kingdom mentality. Amen? That means this is not all that there is for us. You know, in Relevance, we write a lot of songs, and I've been working on this song for a while, and we're not finished with it yet. But it says, this isn't all that there is. There's another life I'll live. I'm heaven bound. And I think that that has to become first and foremost in our mind. And what happens is, when stuff here isn't important, it gives you the confidence to move through life. No matter what happens, no matter what is thrown at you, you know who you are, you know you are loved, you know you are possessed by God, and that you're going back to your Father. You're just visiting. Amen? It's like, my mom lives in Michigan, and she calls me every day. And we talk every day. And her whole thing is, when are you coming home? And I think God's like that. He's up there rubbing his hands together, anticipating when we come home. And yet we don't really look at death the right way, I think, as Christians. I don't know why we get so sad and so upset. I mean, yes, naturally we will miss that person. But I actually envy that person because they get to see Jesus before me. I'm like, dang, they're having a party. I'm still down here dealing with how to pay these bills. Nobody's calling them anymore asking, when are you going to pay? I'm still here. So kingdom mentality becomes important. But just to review where we were last night, ladies, for those of you who weren't here, struggling with identity, I brought up the question of we are chosen. We are chosen by God, handpicked. And I talked about the fact that, you know, for years I was in advertising and I was an art director. So I did casting calls and I casted the people that would be in the commercials for Coca-Cola and McDonald's and other. And I could see how crushed people were when they weren't chosen. Thank God we don't have to audition for God. He has chosen us before the beginning of time. Before anybody knew of our existence, we were in his mind. He had already thought about us. He had already written down every single day in his book of what was going to occur in our life. Do you know that no matter what happens in your life, God's hair is not on fire? He's not going, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. No, he's anticipated it. He already has an answer for it. And so we don't ask the question why, we ask the question what. What are you going to do with this situation? How are you going to get glory out of it? What do you want to get out of me in the midst of this situation, God? Those are the questions we ask. Because when we ask why, we hear nothing. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Why not you?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Suffering is relative.
Yeah.
What floors somebody else is nothing to someone else because they've been through worse. And so if we start comparing stories, if I pulled out my stories, you'd say, girl, I can't believe you smiling. Amen? But God has made us overcomers in all things. And so we're chosen. We are objects of his love. And we talked about the fact that long before you were here, he had settled on you as the focus of his love to make you whole and holy by his love. So he just loves you into wholeness. Okay? He just pampers you with his love and his mercy and his grace. And he just draws you to himself. The things that beat us up are the consequences of our own bad choices. It's not the hand of God. And I think we have to understand there's a difference between forgiveness, okay? When we think about God forgiving us, in our minds, I think we think that when he forgives us, he's supposed to wipe out the consequences. He can't do that. He cannot go against the law of the order that he set in place. What he does do is forgive us, but we're not exempt from the consequence. And that's why he asked us not to do that thing in the first place. Amen. So his commandments are really savior pieces. They're like, don't do that because you're going to hurt yourself. I've concluded that sin is nothing more than something that hurts you or hurts someone else. And so God says, don't do that because I don't want you to hurt yourself. How many of you are parents in here? So when you tell your child not to touch the hot stove, is it because you don't want them to have fun? It's because you don't want them to burn themselves, right? So it is an act of love. The word don't is actually an act of love. And if we could see it that way, I believe that we would align our choices in a more effective way. Because when we think that God's just trying to steal our fun, it causes us to be rebellious. Yeah, that was the thing, that was the seed that the enemy planted in the garden when he said, you know, he just doesn't want you to be like him, which was a total lie because they were already like him. They were created in his image. And so the enemy distorts the truth and gets you to see out the side of your eye instead of the full picture of what God wants you to really see. So it's very, very important to discern the heart of God, that it is a heart filled with love for you, filled with passion for you. When it says he's jealous over you, what he's saying is, I am so protective. I want to guard you. And if I could, I would just shield you like this. And that's why he says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my God, in him will I trust. Because this is what God wants to do with you. He loves you so much, but he can't because he gave you free will. And so he says, please just listen to me. I'm taking my hands off, but I really would prefer that you stay within the covering of my will. I'm convinced that nothing can separate you from the love of God, the reckless love of God. No wall he won't climb up, no mountain he won't tear down. Ha! song is so powerful. I mean, did you really listen to the words as you sang them this morning? He's coming after you. Paul said, I am running after Christ to apprehend that for which I was apprehended. He deposited something in you, and he means to get it out of you because it's going to glorify him and make your face shine. Remember when Moses came down from the mountain? After he had seen God all that time, and it said his face was shining so brilliantly, people couldn't even look at him. He had to put a veil over his face. The countenance of God was all over him because of the time he spent in his presence. He was so deeply saturated by God that it was an affront to the world. If the world likes you too much, there's a problem. If they're not just a little uncomfortable in your presence, there's a problem. We're so politically correct. But correct to who? Whose brownie points are we trying to gain? We must ask ourselves. You know, he loves you. The theme is live loved. But, you know, once we settle into the understanding of that, knowing that we are chosen, we are loved, we are members of his family, then the love has to shift. It has to transfer. You know, he loves us, but what are we giving him for that love? He's made us citizens of heaven already. We're members of the royal family. It says in Philippians 3:20 that we're citizens of heaven. That means we should have a kingdom mindset. Amen? It says that Jesus, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own, he will make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be. Are we yielding to that? Are we growing? Stop and ask yourself, am I better today than I was yesterday? Am I looking more and more like Jesus? I remembered when my dad passed away and I went to Ghana and I met a bunch of his friends I'd never seen before who met me for the first time. They said, oh, you must be George's daughter. Hey, your face is his face. That made me feel so good. I looked like my father. I was my father's daughter. Jesus said, why are you asking about the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I only do what he does. I only say what he says. And I believe that now we're at the point of maturity, or should be, where we say, why are you asking me about Jesus? If you see me, you see Jesus. I only say what he says. I only do what he does. It's time for a realignment. He loves us. So what? What are you going to do about that love? Because love reciprocates by becoming what the lover loves. Amen? We're citizens of heaven, which means that there should be a transformation taking place in us. And I believe that when Paul said, I just wish that you could comprehend how wide, how high, how deep, how wide is the Father's love for you. It's too great to understand. We don't even have the capacity. Now, we think we love some folk. I mean, I fell in love with this guy, and I said, oh, I love him so much, my heart hurts. It felt like it was just going to burst out of my chest. I broke up with him 3 months later. You know, what can I say? This human fickle love that just fizzles out on condition. But God has an agape love for us that no matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what we look like, he still loves us in spite of ourselves. What are we going to do about that, ladies? He deserves so much more from us. Amen? When we think about his love, then we shift from the do's and the don'ts being commandments to being motivated by love. When you love somebody, you transform. You know, I met this guy and he liked sushi. And I thought, ew. But because I loved him, I tried it. And guess what? I love sushi. You see, your taste change, right? Your preferences change. Amen. He says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. So when your heart condition shifts to being madly, wildly, recklessly passionate about God, and everything you're doing is motivated by your love for God, your preferences change. It's not so much that you don't do it because he asked you not to do it. It becomes an instinct that he doesn't like that, so I don't like it either. He asked us to love what he loves and hate what he hates. This old preacher used to say, you know, when I came to Jesus, I did everything I wanted to do. I smoked as much as I wanted to. I caroused with women as much as I wanted to. I got drunk as much as I wanted to. The problem was I just didn't want to. His preferences had changed. Look at a neighbor and say, what do you prefer? Mm-hmm. May you experience the love of God. You know, it really is about what's most important to you. When I started my ministry in Ghana, I didn't have anyone funding it. And there were things that we needed. I was setting up a building at the time, and I had to get speakers and music equipment, and I love fashion. You know I have a passion for fashion, right? And I have so many friends that are designers, and they're always making amazing, beautiful things. And I would find myself literally calculating, new dress, speakers, new dress, microphone, gotta go with the microphone. I made sacrifices based on what was most important to me. I was building something for God, and that was exciting to me, and it became my heart preference. I made sacrifices based on what was most important to me. And you know what? It didn't feel like a sacrifice. I was just so excited about being able to have something to present to God as a gift, not to gain brownie points. Because at this point, everything we do is our thank you. You do realize that, right? You know, I said I was going to write these little mini books, Barbie, and one of them was you can't buy blessings from God. Because there's so much theology about, you know, our giving is to compel God to give you something. No! You owe God that money. Do you know that? Now, in America, they take 33 1/3% of your money that you make. And depending on how much you make, they take even more. What makes them feel so entitled? They don't give you anything. They just take. But God gives you everything. And he says, can I borrow 10% of what I gave you? Really? And we get upset about 10% and the government asks for more? How? Right? Because you work for that money. We don't work for anything that God gave us. He just gave it out of his lavish, passionate, reckless love for us. It's all free. The air we breathe, the health that we live and move in. Oh, part of not going out this year was I ran out of money. It's real. The struggle is real, ladies. I keep it real. Tega asked me for some money for credit one day. I said, Tega, I don't have a peso. She looked at me and just shook her head. She was looking like, how can this be? And as I got into my swimming pool to do my exercises, I said, well, girlfriend, you're just the most fabulous broke girl I know. Broken swimming pool go together, but they do for you. Because that's my God. And so I had to maintain an attitude of gratitude because, yes, I ate every day. I may not have had extra to buy anything extra, but the essentials were there because God promises he will give you daily bread. And so that attitude, I think, got me past that period. But in the middle of it all, I had a lot of self-examination to do, a lot of tearing down, a lot of deconstructing of what was important and what was not, and what was God's mindset in this time and in this season. And I feel that what he's calling us to is becoming kingdom-minded people, where we look past the world we're in, like the ambassador that lives in my house. He knows he's there for a term. His term is ending. He moves out at the end of the month, and a new one will replace him. And I think to myself, wow, we are ambassadors. We are representatives of the kingdom of God. And that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. How are you representing him? The atmosphere should change when you walk into a room. People should stop cussing, not knowing why, because of what you carry inside of you. The deposit of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the living God abiding, living and moving inside of you, literally becomes evident when you step into a space. And like Moses, your face shines. They don't know the source of it, but they know something is different, and it causes themselves to realign themselves. Amen? It says that we are ambassadors, that we speak for Christ, who never sinned. And then in Psalms, he says that famous line, he leads us in paths of righteousness. For what? His name's sake. The righteousness, again, is not about brownie points. Our obedience is not to gain brownie points. The work has already been done. We are redeemed by faith. There's nothing you can do to make yourself more worthy than right now. There's nothing you can do. Our acts of righteousness now are our thank you to God for saving us, for redeeming us. It is our way of representing him well in the earth realm so that others want to come to him. So he has now entrusted you because he loves you so much, and with love comes trust. He trusts you so much to represent him. Make him look good. Please make him look good. Because unfortunately, when people look at you and you do something off, they go, I thought that person was a Christian. Well, what's that got to do with anything? But it always falls back to God. Poor God gets blamed for everything that we do. Amen? So know who you represent. When you walk out representing God, you've got to look like God. You can't look like yourself. We become the physical manifestation and image of God, just like Christ. Colossians 1:15 says that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Well, now we've taken that spot. He's up there interceding for us. That's his job for now. So our job is to carry on what he was doing. So we have now become the visible image of the invisible God. Amen? And so it goes on to say, may we abound and be filled with fruits of righteousness, of right standing with God and right doing, which come through Jesus Christ to the honor and praise of God, that his glory may be manifested and recognized through us. That's powerful. That's an important duty. That's nothing to take lightly. Amen? God trust you to do that. God trusts you to make him look good. God trusts you to make him look good. To make someone say, I want what she has. What is it? And you say, it's God. Amen? And finally, as you do that well, remembering that you're here just for a brief time, this is not all there is. Put life in perspective. Anytime something happens to you, the first thing out of your mouth should be, this too shall pass. It all comes to pass. Nothing comes to stay. Seasons change. So how are you going to walk out the season? Yeah? You dress for that season and you persevere, knowing that a break is coming. Amen? Like that whole time of that silence, I called it the silence period. I knew it would get noisy again. I knew it would get busy again. And that has been the cycle. So I've learned what the cycle is. And so I'm learning to embrace whatever the season is, because the challenge that you face is the indication of hint of what the blessing that is coming into your life will be. So what is it? Are you struggling with your finances right now? That means money's coming. An opportunity is coming where there's going to be a breakthrough financially for you. And God will test you and allow you to be tested in that area of finance. Maybe it's something relational. God's got you. His love is going to cover you, surround you, keep you, fill you, indwell you, and fill you up so that you attract the right kind of love to yourself. But learn the lessons in the season. Amen? Because if you don't, you will repeat them again and again and again. And God has other lessons he wants to teach you. And he is so impatient for you to get past this one so he can move on to the next thing. Because he is, you know, he is anticipating blessing you. You know, there have been times in my life where there have been people in my life, and I've had like all these ideas of things I wanted to do to bless them, and then they just clown and act crazy, and I say, forget it. And I wonder if God does that. Goes, well, they're just not ready. They're not ready for that blessing. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. He's determined to bless you. And it's not just about you. It's about his kingdom design, because he's got this whole picture he's painting of what heaven looks like. And he wants us to all line up so that he can present that beautiful picture to the world so that everyone wants to be a part of it. And so when we, you know, like just delay the painting, it's sad, man. I think he's on his throne saying, oh, please hurry up and get this right so we can just put that color right there and move on to another color. But in the end, thanks be to God. Don't even get discouraged about the struggle, because he's written the end from the beginning. And in the end, we win. We are overcomers. We will look like what he wants us to look like in the end. He will not give up on the transformational work that he is doing in you. And that's what Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will overcome. Back in the day, one of the movement songs in the 60s was, we shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall overcome someday. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Someday we will overcome. Whatever it is you're going through, it's temporary. Just put it in perspective. In light of the kingdom, this thing, this suffering is for a moment. The blink of an eye, things can change. And when we keep in mind that this is not all there is, that we are ambassadors who have been entrusted to represent, and that our term will be over and we'll shift to another position, another assignment, we're able to keep everything in perspective. Can you bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, this morning, thank you for entrusting us with the awesome privilege of being an ambassador of your kingdom, of representing you. Father, we want to represent you well. Teach us, mold us, break us, do whatever you need to do to make us look like you. We agree this morning that we will yield to the process, knowing the greater weight of glory that awaits us as you do your transformational work within us. We say yes to your will, yes to your way. We welcome your love that breaks and bruises, but then binds up again. For your glory, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.